Well, Happy New Year. It's pretty exciting because I celebrated my 1 year move to California yesterday. So a year ago, I flew in December 31st, and pretty much Dana picked me up, my wife, she was my fiance at that time, and drove me straight to Josh and Melissa's house to celebrate the New Year. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of gone full circle and happened again this year. But it made me think. It made me think about how I even got here. When I look back, I had no plans, no intentions of ever leaving my home. And all the people I knew were back at home in Texas. So all the pastors, all my connections, my family, my friends, everybody I knew was back in Texas. And actually, I even had opportunities to stay in Texas. And I took it at first. I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be in Texas. But then God started moving in crazy ways, or I just couldn't, I didn't feel settled with it. And literally, I went from, I am going to kind of turn down security and things I know, and turn down a place where I can be out and people I know, and to explain to people that I'm not going to be here. It's like, oh, what are you gonna, do you have any plans? No, I have no idea. And see how God moved. And I'm looking back, like, you know, 1 year from when I moved here, and about a year and a half, 2 years, when I started this whole process, I'm going, wow, God really showed up in this huge way in my life, because I had no idea what I was going to do, but I knew that I wasn't supposed to stay. And then God shows me, and then I'm looking back and go, that was the right choice. That was the right decision. This is the right church. And I go, what better place would it be for someone like me who had absolutely like very little experience in full-time ministry to be placed in a church where the youth pastor is now the English pastor, and who can actually like guide me step by step and teach me, like, this is how you do your job, or this is how you do ministry, this is how you love on kids, this is what you're supposed to do. And I came in literally going, I have no idea what to do. It's like, all right, this is going to be interesting. And a year from now, I realized that I still don't know what I'm going to do. I still don't know how to do it, but I'm going, this is the best place for me, and this is where God wants me. And God showed up in this crazy way by little steps of faith and prayer. Today we want to see how God shows up. We're going to be in Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, verse 12 through verse 16. So if you have your Bible, turn to Acts 5, verse 12 through verse 16. I'm going to read it to you. My Bible just slipped. All right. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats. And as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. And we're seeing right here that our God is a very tangible and real God. He's not a God of our like philosophical beliefs. He's not a God of our political agendas. He's not a God that's far and distant. He's not a God that is just some crutch that helps us get through life. He's a very tangible and real God, and we're seeing Him work through all of this. And He's showing us, and he was showing the people at that day how real he was, and he was doing all these miracles through these apostles, and he's really showing himself, and it's really amazing. And we're seeing that God oftentimes shows himself in a big way through his people. And it's through his people that God shows himself. And our God shows up in this amazing way. He's kind of like the Batman of Gotham City or the Superman of Metropolis. And I just compared God to a whole bunch of comic books, stars and heroes. But in that sense, in the story, that God is the hero. And God is the God that shows up and you see him and he's tangible and he's real and he's doing all these amazing things. And so today I want to focus on this idea that God shows up powerfully through his people. That he can and he will show up in a powerful way through his people. So I want us to look back again on verse 12. And it says that many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And they're all together in Simon's portico. In verse 12, we see that God shows up powerfully through his people's prayers. That God shows up powerfully through his people's prayers. And you're going, what prayer are you talking about? Because there is no prayer in this passage. But if we look back in chapter 4, verse 29 and 30, the apostles and the church were together and they were praying. This is right after Peter and John were released. They were arrested for doing miracles and for preaching about Jesus. They were imprisoned. They were released and they come back and they start praying. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, how Peter, John, the rest of the church were praying these bold prayers and they're making these bold requests. In verse 29 and verse 30, we see that it says, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with boldness." In verse 30, "While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And then we fast forward back to verse 12, and we're seeing that what many signs and wonders were regularly done. That these prayers that they were asking, these prayers of the people, they were answered. And they were answered in a powerful way. And now we see these apostles starting to do these signs and wonders and healings. And we look at it and go, we know that as the people pray, God will show up. And God shows up in this huge way. Now, I know a lot of this is kind of interesting because you're going, well, what is with all these healings and what are we supposed to do with all this stuff? Because we see the stuff on TV and we hear all these stories and what's going on. It's like, well, does God still do these things? Like, it looks really fake or fabricated and it looks kind of sketchy and then people are just like asking for money. Well, honestly, I don't know. But there are a few things to consider. One, these were the apostles doing the healing. And then we know that there's an office of apostleship that's no longer here today. Because, well, frankly, none of us were living with Jesus at that time. I don't know exactly how we are, like, how God works today. As in, like, I'm not sure if he still does all these things, but I think for us, what we can take out of this is that God still works really powerfully through our prayers, through what we ask for. That if we're asking for God to make himself known, he will. And he might still work through certain ways that we might not know of. But I don't want us to kind of get wrapped up in this idea of like all these signs and wonders and like all these things happening. I want us to focus that God still shows up. And God shows up through our prayers. Last week, we saw three people, well, including me, share their testimonies and share their stories about how God showed up. How God showed up through their circumstances. And we heard stories of how people were placed in certain situations and had to pray and depend on God. And we saw how people, they might have, how someone might have lost their job, but God placed them in the right place at the right time. Or somebody was sick, but God used that sickness to bring glory to Himself. And for me, how even something as small as a house, buying a house, was able to show me, show Dana, and hopefully show the church how God works and moves in these crazy ways. And we're seeing how God uses our prayers in these crazy ways to show Himself. I think a lot of times when we think about prayers, we think that, well, I prayed this thing, I don't understand why it didn't happen. And some of us might even understand, like, well, I understand I shouldn't pray for selfish things. Like, if I'm going to pray for a BMW, it might not come, right? If I'm praying for a mansion, it's like, okay, you know, for most of us, we're going, okay, I get that. If I pray for these selfish things, it might happen. But sometimes I'm praying for things that I feel like will further God's kingdom. I'm praying for opportunities. I'm praying that God does something really amazing. Maybe it's like a family member or a friend. Like, God, I'm praying that you just soften their hearts, or why can't you just do this thing? Or, like, God, we're in this neighborhood and I really want to reach out to these people. Why can't you just bring them all in, God? I thought that's what you want. And I don't want us to think of that just because God doesn't directly answer these prayers that He's not hearing us. We need to remember who we are, that we're His creation. He's God. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. That we pray in this way of humility, knowing that God can and will work through that. It might just not be how we expect it. I remember that Vision Sunday, Josh was praying for God to make us dependent on Him, to rely on Him. Sounds like a pretty normal prayer. It's like, you don't know exactly what's going to happen. It's like, yeah, God, just help us rely on Him. Maybe, like, there's something within us to go, okay, we need to rely on You. And literally before the service started, all the electricity went out. And then we were like, okay, what are we supposed to do now, right? But then later on, when Josh started preaching, all of a sudden electricity turns back on. And we were reminded that God answered his prayer and He worked powerfully. Maybe just not in the way we expected it. Maybe we go, God, work in this way, God. Make us dependent on You, but don't make us too uncomfortable. And God's like, I'm just going to turn off all the lights. And it's like, what are we going to do for worship? How are we going to, you know, Josh, you're going to start screaming because, you know, none of the mics are working, nothing's working. And we're going, wow, that's amazing how God answered that prayer. And that's just such a tangible, weird way of how God answered the prayer. And He showed Himself. And when it was all done, all of us like, wow, praise God, that was kind of cool. That was cool that He showed Himself. And so God works powerfully through prayer. And God works powerfully through His people's prayer. So let's keep on going and see that how God's presence, and when He shows up, how we respond to it, and how people respond to it. Verse 13 and verse 14, it says, none of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. And we see that God's powerful presence evokes two different responses: full commitment and no commitment. We see that there's two big responses: full commitment and no commitment. So in verse 13, we're introduced to a group of people that respect the apostles. They're respecting what they're doing. They're going, that's pretty amazing what they're doing. I mean, that's pretty awesome. Like, I see what they're doing. You know, the healings are pretty awesome. Their teachings are pretty awesome. I like what's going on. But they really kept them at an arm's distance. They weren't ready to be fully committed to what they're doing. They said that they were actually fearful and they were kind of scared. None of them dared to join them. If we remember what happened in the passage before, what Josh was talking about, there's these two people, right? Ananias and Sapphira, where we call it Annie and Sappy, who kind of just halfway did stuff. They halfway gave things and they kind of pretended that they were doing this and doing that. And they were just kind of halfway following him. And then, bam, they're dead. All right, so everybody's looking and just going, all right, I'm not sure if I really want to be part of that because it seems like it requires quite a bit. But I can't really just halfway do things because I might die. And so we see these people, they're kind of scared. They're going, I respect what you're doing. I mean, that's awesome, right? I'm jiving with it. That's really cool. You're healing people. You're doing stuff. Just not for me, right? I'm not openly against what you're doing. I'm just kind of a little scared. I just respect it. Kind of like a lot of people that might be here today and yeah, at church and going, I love what they're doing. I love how they're giving or they're really nice and they're loving and they're this and that. But I'm just going to kind of keep them at arm's distance. I'm going to keep them at an arm's distance because I'm not really sure if I really am ready to commit it all because it seems like I have to give up a lot. And then we look at verse 14, at the flip side, that more believers were added to the Lord. And there's actually people that look at this and go, yeah, that's what I want. I counted the cost. I'm willing to go all in. And we're seeing that there's full commitment and there's no commitment. When I was in college, I went through this period where I actually wanted to join a fraternity. it was an Asian fraternity on campus. And the reason why I wanted to join them, there's a couple of reasons. One, they had really cool looking hoodies. Right? And we're in Texas, right? So how often do you wear hoodies? Well, when you have cool hoodies, it doesn't matter what the weather's outside, you'll wear it, right? All right, so you got these cool looking hoodies, which honestly is just like this blue hoodie, blue sweatshirt with their letters on it. But it was really cool at that time, right? And then I just kind of, you know, like I wanted to be associated with them because it was like this, they called themselves the first Asian American international fraternity because they had like a fraternity in Canada, right? So they're international. Well, some people are like, I know what you're talking to. You know, right? So I really wanted to join it because like the hoodie's pretty cool and it's kind of cool to be like, yeah, I want to be part of that. But then I didn't really want to sacrifice my time because the hazing the pledging process was pretty strenuous. And I didn't really want to sacrifice my money because you had to pay dues. And then my friends that I already made that were not part of this fraternity, like I liked hanging out with them. And I didn't really like pain. So there's a whole these reasons. I'm like, I didn't really know those people. I didn't really care to know them very well. I just really wanted the hoodie and just the association, right? Yeah, I'm one of them. But so in the end, I didn't do it because I was just like, you know, I realized that it's not for me. But it kind of like brings us back to where we are now, where some of us looks at the church and looks at Christians and looks at Christ and go, that's pretty cool. I kind of want to be associated with that. I'll listen to the Christian music. I'll wear those, you know, Christian shirts, or I'll stand up for those Christian ideals and beliefs, but honestly, you're keeping things at an arm's distance because you're not willing to fully commit and fully be all in. You just kind of want to go halfway. We learned a couple weeks back, halfway is not enough. Respect for Christ, respect for Scripture, respect for what the church is doing or what Christians are doing, it's that's not enough. Just respecting and acknowledging is a good thing. It's not enough. God's calling us, and He's saying that it's full commitment. That's all of you. You can't give any less if you're going to follow me. You have to give all. And I know it sounds really scary, and it's going, a lot of us might go, you don't understand. I'm not ready for that. I need to clean myself up before I can even get there. Like you don't get it. Like, there's all these things that I kind of like, I need to make sure my house is in order before I can follow Christ. But the point isn't what you bring to the table or how good you can be. The point is taking that mess in your life and letting Christ change it and not staying in that mess. It's not fixing what you have before you come to Christ. It's coming to Christ going, I want you to fix all of it. Full commitment is going, I let you have a say in all of my life, not just some of it. It's not what you do, it's what you allow Christ to do in you. That's what full commitment's about. It is not what you do, it's what you allow Christ to do in you. Because then when you start doing that, He starts asking for some crazy things. Like maybe He starts asking you to start tithing, or start asking you to start volunteering, or to start serving here. Or maybe He's asking you to give up your job and go to a certain place. Maybe He's asking you to start talking to your friends and sharing Christ. I don't know what it is. But when He starts giving all of you, He's going to start asking you to do things that might be uncomfortable, or might be hard, or might be difficult. But that's what full commitment's about. It's not what you can change, it's how you can, is letting Him change all of you. But here's the awesome thing. And here's a truth that really hits hard, and a truth that brings a lot of comfort. God meets us where we are at. Full commitment isn't going to God, it's allowing God to meet us where we are at. And so let's look at the last verse, last couple of verses. And it says, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick to those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. So lastly, we see that God meets us powerfully at where we are at. God meets us where we are at. So you might read this and you go, I don't quite understand why people want to be in Peter's shadow. Kind of weird, right? Nobody's following me. Like, my shadow's right here. Nobody cares for that. So it's like, what's going on? Why do people want to be in Peter's shadow? So we kind of need to go through a little history lesson. At that time, people thought the shadow was an extension of yourself. It was kind of literally a part of you. I don't know why they thought that, but that's what they thought. Like, so, especially like in Jewish law, you know, you're not supposed to touch certain things because they're unclean. But the thing is, like, yo, I won't touch it, but even if your shadow touches it, you're unclean, your shadow touched it. It was literally an extension. It's just part of you. It's part of you. And so these people, they're sick, and they're really in need of healing. And what they're thinking is like, well, if I touch Peter or just part of Peter, I'll be healed. And they're saying that like Peter's probably like touching people and healing people. And they're like, well, that's probably it. You know, if I just get in his shadow, I'll be healed. Now, all of us know that we're not superstitious people. And we're not thinking that laying hands will bring healing. Or we see in Scripture that Jesus healed people without touching them at all. He's told people like, oh, they're healed and he's doing miraculous things without touching them. And we know that it's not through touching, it's not through all these things that bring about healing. And we remember in the story back in Luke where a woman touches Jesus' cloak to get healed. And we know, like, oh, it's not like Jesus' cloak is some magical thing that if we touch it, we get healed. And we're all looking for this, you know, cloak. Oh, yeah, if I just have it in my possession, I'll be healed. Or people are, like, searching for the Holy Grail and things like that. It's not about these objects or these things. And God knows that. God doesn't operate like that. God meets them where they're at. He knows these people are desperate for Him. They're desperate for healing. And they're asking to see a glimpse of God. And even in their like wrong understanding or incorrect understanding of like, well, if I just fall into the shadow, I'll be healed. God still meets them where they're at. And it's going that God is willing to meet us where we're at. And one commentator said that He not only fulfilled what they wanted, but they took Him further. It's so amazing, like, if you think about it, that big God, little people, comes down to meet our needs in our place, even with our feeble, incorrect understanding of who He is. It's like, yeah, you don't really need to be in people's shadow to be healed, but you know what? I'll still heal you anyway, just so I can show you that I am God, I love you, and I will take you even further than that. This is one of the clearest examples of God being with us. But there's another example of God meeting us where we are at. And we celebrated Jesus' birth last week. And this is a story of remembering that God came down as man to meet us where we're at. That we didn't go to God. We didn't run to God. We weren't people trying to fix ourselves. We were just in our junk, in our crap, and pretty much content with it. And God came to us. Came to our world. He came to where we are. That is just amazing. Like, why would an all-powerful God come to us? What kind of love is that? That God shows up in places that we don't even think He'll be. He's not just between these walls. He shows up where people are at, in people's desperations. It might be on the streets. It might be in the slums. It might be in their lowest places. It might be in your lowest place. He meets you where you are at. That when you want to fully commit to Him, it doesn't matter where you are at. He's not asking you to go anywhere. He's coming to you. That is a truth that we can meditate on for the rest of 2012. That He comes to restore relationship, that Christ comes to restore relationship with us and Him, that He comes to restore us, to bring healing, to give joy that we've been missing. That the cross is where Christ met us and took our sins and took our consequence. So church, the question today is that, do you understand, do you know, do you believe that God shows up in crazy places? Whether it's through prayer or through our lowest place, that God shows up. That through prayer, we know that through prayer that God shows up. What kind of prayers are we praying? What are we expecting through those prayers? Are we thinking that God should answer everything we say? Or is our mindset, our attitude, a humble one, knowing that God will take these prayers and He will meet them and exceed them in maybe ways we don't understand? Or maybe we're requesting things and God goes, hey, you know, that's a great idea. I love what you're doing. I know what you're thinking. I have a better plan. I have a better way. Like, are we ready to know and live in a way with expectation that God will answer them, but in a very unexpected way? That God meets and God shows up through prayers of people, that are one of the greatest things that we have, one of the greatest assets that we have, is that we get to pray and talk and commune with God, and that God shows up when we do talk with Him, that we are in relationship with Him. But also, there's some of us here that I do have to ask the question, are you fully committed to Christ? Because I think that might resonate with some of you. That you might look and go, I respect what Christ is doing. I respect what Christians are doing. I'm friends with a lot of them. I love what they're doing. I think this is cool. I do this, and I'm kind of immersed in the Christian culture. But you're not quite fully committed. You keep it at an arm's distance. You reserve a part of your life for yourself while you live and act like you give it all. Which is no different than what Annie and Safi did a couple weeks back, where we learned. That's what we're talking about here. Reserving a part of your life for yourself, but saying you fully commit. Keeping some things at an arm's distance. Because you're going, Christ, don't touch this part of my life. I respect what you're doing. I think what you're doing is great, but that's not for me. Don't call me there. Don't tell me to do this. Don't tell me to live this way. This is my part. Don't tell me how to live in my family. Don't tell me how to treat my friends. Don't tell me what I can or cannot do in my free time. Don't tell me what I can or cannot do with my money. Don't tell me what I can or cannot do in my work. We keep them at an arm's distance. We respect the teachings. We respect what they say. But we don't fully commit to it. That is a scary place to be. For all of us to think about. I mean, I'm thinking about it myself, going that, I mean, it's being honest with ourselves and being honest with where we're at. But it's also knowing that when we are ready and when we want to go, and God, I want to fully commit, but you know that I struggle with this. You know I don't want to give up this. You know that my stronghold is this. You know you need to pry it from my hands. I want you to, but you literally need to pry it from my hands, God. And some of us might be, and it's just being honest. It's just being very honest. God, I want to give this up, but I'm giving it to you like this, and you're going to have to tug. And I want you to do it, but like, you know how difficult it is, God. You know how difficult it is. But that truth, that joy, that God meets us where we're at, and God hears those prayers and goes, I'll do it. I'll do it. You want me to? I'll do it. It'll hurt. I'll do it, but I'll do it. That our full commitment is met with God meeting us where we're at, not us going to Him. We learned last week that God truly shows up in some pretty amazing places at our church. And God really is with us. So in 2012, let's follow Him together.